Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
It's my privilege this morning to commend to you the sacred scriptures. The Bible is the fully inspired Word of God. It is the infallible revelation of His will, the authoritative revealer of doctrine, and the Bible is the trustworthy record of God's acts in history. So what do you say then? Let us prayerfully and humbly read and study the Bible more. For in it we will find hope for every crisis. But more importantly, we will find our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died to redeem us from sin. Will you please bow your heads in prayer with me? Our Father in heaven, in our worship now, we take time to open your word. And as we do so, we invite your Holy Spirit, which is in this place, to give us wisdom and understanding. And more than that, Lord, we ask that you would grant us power to practically live according to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So open your Bibles with me this morning. We've got two readings that we wish to consider. We're going, first of all, to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, and then we will turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Our study today is entitled, That God May Be All in All. And this is part two. We began this study last week. There will be a part three that we'll consider towards the end of the month. So Colossians chapter 3, we want to start our reading today with verse number 8. Colossians 3, starting with verse number 8, the Bible says, But now ye also put off all these. And what kind of things are the Christians supposed to put off? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on what? The new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Amen. And now let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we wish to read a passage which is a parallel passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just a few pages over in our Bibles. And we want to begin with verse number 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be what? Made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And this is our key verse in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be what? That God may be all in all. And so in our two texts that we have read last Sabbath and now this Sabbath, there are three sets of this word all, rising one out of the other. The first leading to the second then moving on to the third. And you will notice that the first two are present tense. The text to the Colossians is, Christ is all. What is it? Christ is all. And then secondly, Christ is in all. And then the third one that we have read from 1 Corinthians refers to the future. It is yet to be fulfilled. When the great consummation of all things come and God recreates a new heaven and a new earth, then shall God be what? All in all. And it is our hope in our study today, and when we complete our study towards the end of the month, that the Spirit of God will move upon our hearts, that to each one of us, Christ may be all, and that Christ will be in us all. And that in that great day, when God is made all in all, he will truly be such in our own lives. Now, last week, we began with the first all, that is, Christ is all. And that is the foundation. That's where all blessings begin, with the thought that Christ is all. Writing to the faithful saints in Colossae, Paul said, there is neither Greek nor what? Jew. There is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all. So what's the Apostle Paul talking about when he says Christ is all? Well, we discussed that last week. When you read the entire letter that he wrote to the believers at the church at Colossae, we find that Paul is speaking of the plan of salvation. So in this matter, in what matter? In the matter of the plan of salvation, Christ is all. And so this morning we move on to the second point, and that is Christ is in all. And when we study the idea that Christ is in all, what are we talking about? Well, again, when you read the letter to the church at Colossae, we find out that this idea of Christ being in all is a matter of experience. It's a matter of what? A personal experience, and it reveals to us how the work of God's grace proceeds in our lives. Christ is in all. And by the way, when the text says that Christ is all or that Christ is in all, it's not talking about the spiritualistic subjects of pantheism or panentheism, but it is speaking of the gracious work of the Holy Spirit by whom Christ is formed, where? In us, the hope of glory. And then we become more like Jesus. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, to whom God would make known the riches of his glory to the Gentiles, which is. What is the riches of his glory written to the Gentiles? It is this, Christ in you, the what? The hope of glory. And you remember in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, we find the council, that is given to the Laodicean church. We mention that council every now and then. The council to the church, part of the council, I believe the summing up of the council is when Jesus said to that church, "Behold, I stand somewhere." Where did Jesus stand? At the door of your heart. And he says, "I am knocking. And if any man will hear my voice and do what? Open the door," what will Jesus do? "Come into him and sup with him and he with me." Jesus desires to live within our lives, to control our thoughts and our feelings. He wants to make us more and more like him. And you remember in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul told that church, he said, "Let this mind be where? In you." Well, behold, "let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So we see clearly that when an individual accepts Christ as their Savior and trusts and obeys him as their Lord, Christ not only becomes all to that person, but Christ enters into that person and begins to work his love and power. For example, in our reading last week and in our reading today, same reading, we find that when it comes to God's plan of redemption, there is neither Greek nor what? Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, Christ is all and in all. So let's use the Greek for an example. For the Greek who believed in Jesus Christ, accepted Christ's death upon the cross, confessed his sins, what happened to that person? For the Greek, for in the New Testament, also called the Gentile, the grace of God does not turn the Gentile into a Jew, but what does the grace of God do? Puts Christ in the heart, which makes him new, and therefore he becomes a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. So the Greek is still a Greek, but he's no longer just a Greek. What is he? He is now a Greek citizen who has Jesus living in his heart, making him more and more like God each and every day. And thus, the work of what the Bible calls sanctification begins. Then comes the Jew. When the Jew accepts Christ as Savior and Lord, Christ then is in him. The Lord Jesus Christ, dwelling in the Jew, still leaves him a member of the house of Abraham, that is a Jew, but now he has the presence of the Lord in him, and he begins his journey becoming more and more like Jesus. Thus, it is clear that when it comes to the plan of salvation, being a Greek or a Gentile or a Jew is not the point. Who and what is the point? Christ is. Christ is all. And in all who believe in him. Race or nationality, Jew or Greek, race or nationality do not give anyone an inside track to heaven and eternity. I heard one amen. It was over here, I think. Yeah. Race or nationality do not give anyone an inside track to heaven and eternity. And what does the church say? Amen. And with that, I would like to mention a side point that I believe applies in society today. I don't think it's the main point of the text, but I believe we can make an application. Please follow with me. In society today, we have discussions on race. Is that true? Yes. We have discussions on race, racism, And in those discussions, I have noticed in our country that these discussions, as they are stated in pop society, are not bringing people together. What are they doing? They're separating people. And you know what I believe? I believe that if we stuck to just the simple picture and story of Scripture, we would be on a better foundation. And what is that simple story? What is the picture? Well, you know what the story is? From Genesis to the end of the book of Revelation, the story is that there is not many races. The story tells that there is only what? One race. And it's called the human race. And the human race is divided up around the world by the nations in which we live. We call that nationality. And as Christians, we understand that the human race comes from the hands of a loving Creator, and it was God's will that the human race should fill how much of the earth? All the earth. And no matter what nation we live, we are to love and treat with respect and honor all nationalities of the human race. This is part of the picture, I believe, when Paul discusses the plan of redemption. When it comes to God's loving plan of redemption, there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, free, bond. When it comes to the plan of redemption, and we have said it before, we say that the ground at the cross is what? Is level. We all stand on the same ground. And in that context, Christ is all and he is in all. Christ is in every believer who has repented and accepted him as Savior. Praise God. And when Christ enters the life through the presence of the Spirit of God, you know what it does? It begins to change the life. Amen. How so? How does it begin to change the life? Well, in Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is writing to the members of that church when he said there's neither Jew nor Greek, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. He said, when it comes to the plan of redemption, those things don't mean much. He said, but Christ is all and in all. And then Paul writes, gives practical application of what it looks like in the life when Christ truly is all to us and when Christ dwells in us. So let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. I'm just going to read some more verses here, kind of take it bit by bit, and ask you a few questions. Colossians chapter 3. And let's start with our key verse there, verse number 11, where it says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and what? In all. So what does it look like in the life when Christ is all to us and when Christ is in all? That is, Christ is in all of his believers. What does that look like? Look at the next verse. It says, put on therefore. So here's the conclusion of Christ being all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. What kind of mind? Humbleness of mind. Meekness, long suffering. I want to pause there. Question. What would the life look like? What would the individual life look like? What would our homes look like? What would the church look like if those things that I just read in verse 12 were a reality? You know, sometimes we talk about, oh yeah, Christ needs to be in us and he's going to form within us and perfect and complete within us his will. And then we say, okay, that's fine. I believe that. And then we talk about what that might look like. And often when we talk about what that might look like, what it ends up being is just kind of standard theological discussions that we argue about in the church. And if that's the case, you know where I'm at? If that's the case, I'm spinning my wheels. I'm wasting my time. When the Holy Spirit, when Jesus is living in life, what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, what does it say here? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. By the way, that means patient. Forbearing one another. Let's read on. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, so also do ye. Do we sometimes have quarrels, our little various disagreements and sometimes fights? Do we have these in the family? I grew up in a home where a fair amount of that took place. And I wasn't very happy. Does it happen in the church? Do we have our little disagreements and quarrels in the church? Yeah. And inevitably, that's going to happen because I had somebody tell me one time, I'm not going to come to church anymore because of this, this, and this. And I just told the person, I said, you know what? I agree with you. I think you should stop coming to church. And they looked at me like, what? You're the pastor. You're not supposed to say that. And I was like, well, yeah, there's problems in the church. And the reason why, sometimes we disagree. And sometimes we may not treat each other the way we're supposed to. And the reason why that happens is because the church is made up of people just like you and me. And do we sometimes get off kilter and go sideways? Yes. Now, is that God's will? No. What's God's will? That we put away these things. And when something comes up and we might have a disagreement, we might say something that we shouldn't have said, what do? Yeah, we ask that person to forgive us and we ask God to forgive us. And what will God do? He will forgive us. Verse 14, shall we go on a little bit? Oh, this chapter is practical. Notice verse 14, above all these things. So above forgiveness, above patience and meekness and humility and kindness and mercy, above all these things, what are we supposed to put on? We're supposed to put on charity. If you look up that word charity, it's the Greek word agape, which is God's unselfish love that he offers and gives to us who are born again. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And then notice we continue. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. How many of you would like to have the peace of God not only touching your heart every now and then, but ruling in your heart? I need that. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye what? Thankful. Then it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What else are we supposed to have in our lives? Yeah, the word of Christ. Who is the word of God? How important is it for you and I to daily take time to open the sacred scriptures and spend some prayerful time there asking God to help us to be like that. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And what you do in word and deed, do all in whose name? In the name of Jesus. Why? Well, because he's all and he's in all who believe. Oh, then we have the council, verse 18. What does that say? Ladies of the church, what does it say there? Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Lady, that's God's will. Gentlemen, here comes your and my counsel. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. What would our homes be like if husbands and wives treated each other like that? We're patient with each other. Not bitter against that idea of being not bitter. It has the idea of being patient and the idea of not losing your temper and getting all bent out of shape. Now, in the Greek language, it doesn't use those terms, but that's the idea. What would a home be like if husbands didn't get impatient with their wives, and wives loved their husbands and submitting themselves to them as to the Lord? Be a whole lot better place. I once had somebody tell me, oh, pastor, you don't know how it is because you're a pastor. Yeah, believe me, I know how this is. Yeah. Where's my wife? Honey, she's hiding from... Oh, she's over there. There you are. So, honey, so have I ever been impatient in the home with you? She's not saying anything. She's just vigorously shaking her head up and down. Yeah. It might have been better if you would have just said only a few times. Now, we've been married... By the way, this June, we'll be married 40 years. Best years of my life. Yeah. So what does it look like if we were to say, Christ is all to me, is everything to me, and Christ living in me? What does that look like? Well, everything we've been reading here so far, that's what it looks like. Let's stop arguing theology and start praying for God to help us to be like Jesus. Oh, verse 20. This is for all the children and young people. Young people, children, you thought I was only going to talk about your mom and dad. Well, this one's for you. Children, obey your parents in how many things? All things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And so, kids, you know what your task is? When your dad asks you to do something, what do you say? Ah, that's a good answer. Yes. When your mom asks you to do something, what are you going to do? You're going to do it. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And so, dads, I'm talking to the dads and the grandpas here today. Have you ever been impatient with your children? Dave is shaking his head. No, I never have. Maybe once. Yeah. Yeah, you sound like somebody I know that's very close to me. You know what? When Jesus is in the life, this is the point. When Jesus is in the life, he changes things. He changes things for the better. Praise God that the Apostle Paul understood and he shared with the believers in this church in Colossae. If you accept Christ as your Savior and Lord, He's going to be everything to you. He's going to be all. Not only is he going to be all, he's going to be in all who put their trust in him. And this will then make us better witnesses for him. What do you think? Will make us better as we tell others about God's love and about the truths from his word. If God has been doing something in your life and in my life, changing us, making us more like him, our witness will have power. But if we're mean and cantankerous, follow me on this idea. If we're mean and cantankerous, you better not talk about Jesus. Because other people, they will hear those words and then they'll look at you. And what will they say? Want no part of that? And so, having Christ change us and working in our lives will give us authority and power as we share his love to others, as Jesus has called every believer to do. I'm going to end with this. You remember what Jesus told his followers? He gave them a commission. What was the commission? He said, what's the first word? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe how many things? All things that Jesus taught them. And he said, and lo, I am with you for how long? Always, even to the end of the world, to the end of the age. And so Jesus promised to be with his followers and empower them to share the everlasting gospel. I was talking with one of our members here this week, a faithful and godly man, who shared with me that the first part of this commission, that word go, he said, when you study that out, it has the idea of as you go, teach and preach and baptize. And I liked that idea. And so I went back to my Greek Bible the next morning. I opened it up. I got out both my Greek Bibles and I read the text. I parsed that verb, that word go. And you know what I found? I found out something amazing. Are you ready for it? You're not ready for it. Yeah, whether you're ready for it or not, here it comes. I parsed that thing out, took notes, and I found out that that was a passive aorist participle. Yes. And what that simply means is that the word go actually is not the main verb of the sentence. The main verb of the sentence is teach and baptize. But we are to teach and baptize. How is it set up? Therefore, go. It's a passive aorist participle, which is talking about something that began and happened somewhere in the past. So from that point, somewhere in the past, as you go, as you live your life, what are you supposed to do? Teach and preach and baptize. Tell others the story of Jesus. And it's that that Jesus said, I'm going to be with you always. You accept that. You accept me as your Savior. You trust and obey me as your Lord. You're going to take the commission. Well, this is already all started in your life. As you live your life, as you go, do this. And I'm with you always. And that is going to change the world for eternity. And in our eternal existence, God will be, we've been talking about Christ is all, Christ is in all who believe. And that sets things up that one day God may be what? All in all. In our eternal existence, God will be all in all. In every praise we give, in every hymn we sing, in every joy we experience, in every hope we have, in every memory we develop, God will be all in all. And all the redeemed are all delivered from their guilt and power of sin, and are all quickened into the image of God, and are all summed up in Christ, because Christ is in us, and throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, we will give glory to God that He truly may be all in all. May God bless you. Our Father in heaven, Lord, what a privilege it has been for us to worship you this day. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus who died to redeem us from sin. And we pray that in our own hearts and in our own minds that he would be everything to us. We ask, we open up the door of our hearts and ask that you would live within us, empower us to be more like you, and then empower us to share these grand truths with all that we come in contact with. And we thank you for the privilege of being part of your great plan. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Let all the church say, Amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Ottagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.